As you all know, for the past year or so, I have been teaching in the book of Revelation. And so today we are going to be speaking on Revelation chapter 8. So take your Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 8. Amen? Amen. And, you know, teachings are not, for the most part, hoopla messages, but they're teachings. And the body of Christ has to teach. The word of God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the word of God. Amen? Because this is our life book. This is the book that tells us how to live, what God expects, and what God is telling us about the future so that we can be ready. Amen? Okay, amen. So Revelation. Amen? So Revelation chapter 8 begins with the opening of the seventh seal. Amen? And if you remember, in chapter 5, a scroll was given, and there were seals on the scroll. Seven seals. Amen? And the seals were opened one by one up until the sixth seal. Amen? And so we waited for that last seal to be revealed. It wasn't revealed in chapter 6, chapter 7, but in chapter 8. Amen? And if you notice, between chapter 6 and chapter 8, there is what's called a pause. Some other information is given to you. Amen? It's not a continuation of chapter 6. Because in chapter 6, only six seals were revealed. So we're waiting on the seventh seal. Amen? So in chapter 7, we read, if you remember, about the 144,000 that were going to be sealed. Amen? 12,000 for each of the tribes of Israel. Amen? That were going to be sealed with the mark of God. Amen? So that was chapter 7. Now we go to chapter 8. Amen? Amen? So,
amen.
What does chapter 8 do? It reveals judgments. Amen? And they are the trumpet judgments. They're called the trumpet judgments. We did the seals. Now we're going to do the trumpets. Amen? Amen? So, in the book of Revelation, the trumpets announce impending judgments. That's judgments that are going to come. And why do we need to know this? Because we need to know what judgments are coming, and we need to be able to warn our family members of what the word of God says is coming. And we need to minister to them so they will be saved and they, like us, will not have to go through these judgments. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, after the trumpets, we will see the trumpets, and then you have the bowl judgments, B-O-W-L, bowl judgments. Now, the trumpet judgments are fierce, but they're not as fierce or severe as the bowl judgments. And we will get to the bowl judgments. Amen? Amen. So one thing I want you to know is these judgments, when do they occur? They occur during the second half of the tribulation. So we're not going to be there, right? We're not going to be in the tribulation. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, we believe that the rapture will take place before the tribulation, which means that we, the church, will go up. Amen? Because the word of God says that he has not called us to wrath. Amen? And the tribulation is the wrath of God poured out on unbelievers. So verse 1, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. the silence. So there's silence, and the implication there may be, or seems to foretell, the severity and the grim reality of the judgments that God is about to unleash. So there's a half an hour of silence in heaven. Amen. Verse 2 says, "Then I saw seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them." Seven angels. If you look in the scriptures and you look in Jewish tradition and the Jewish, you know, and the Hebrew Bible, which is our Bible, the Old Testament, it says that seven angels, and right here, stand before the throne of God. And to these seven angels, God has given seven trumpets. But that's just setting the scene. Amen. And then in verse 3, it says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel." So what does this tell us? What does this say to us? That the prayers of saints rise up to God's throne. Now, what is a censer? If you look in the Old Testament, a censer was a golden pan suspended on a chain. Amen. And the chain was, the censer would take the coals from the brazen altar. The coals from the brazen altar, we're talking about the tabernacle, right? The brazen altar. The coals were taken from the brazen altar and transported to the altar of incense. And that would symbolize the fire and the incense that would go up, would symbolize the prayers of the people. So this is what John is seeing. Remember, this is the Apostle John who has been taken up into heaven and he's been given all these visions. So right there, there's a testament to the fact that our prayers rise up before the throne of God. Just like incense rises up, it's symbolic. Our prayers rise up before the throne of God. So don't stop praying. Don't give up on praying. For whatever it is that your heart desires, put it before God. Bring your prayers before God on a continuous basis. You know, the Word says, the Word of God, you know where the Word of God says, "Seek and you shall find, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open." Some people say, "Oh, pray once and that's it." But the Word of God in the Greek, it says, keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking. So keep on with your prayers and bring them up before God. Because what our loved ones, what they have is our prayers. And God is a faithful God. And I believe, as long as we continue to pray for our loved ones, amen, God is faithful. You and your house, he says. You and your house, amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And it's, you know, it's this also demonstrates that before these judgments are going to take place, the prayers of the saints have been going up, because some mighty, awful judgments are going to come forth. Amen? Then it says, the angel, in verse 5, it says, then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire and threw it on the earth, and there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightnings, and an earthquake. This depicts the fury of God. Amen. The fury of an awesome God that's about to be poured out on a sinful world. Could you imagine? Peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightnings, and an earthquake. And let me give you some scripture. You will see that also in Revelation 4:5, Revelation 11:19, and Revelation 16:18. Amen. So God is ready to unleash his fury upon a sinful world that has perpetually rejected him. And again, this is during the tribulation. Amen. So let's go to verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them." Something is going to take place. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail, fire mixed with blood. Hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Wow, this could be describing volcanic eruptions, amen, that could result from the earthquake. Remember verse 5, it said there was an earthquake. So this could be the earthquake disrupting volcanoes and causing the fire, the hail, the fire, and so on and so forth, amen. It says all the green grass was burned up. What causes that? The fire, the lava, the hot lava from volcanoes. This could be what's happening. Amen. The steam and the fire that is thrown in the sky. When you have an eruption, right? A volcanic eruption, you have steam, you have fire, you have hot lava. Amen. Could easily condense into hail and fall into the earth with fiery lava. Amen. So this may be what this is describing, because a third of the earth was burned up. A third. It's hard to fathom a third of the earth. Amen. So this is not just one occurrence in one particular place. This is multiple occurrences that take place over a third of the earth. Amen. You can have dust and gases contaminating the water. Amen. The lava storm can create a fire that will burn up a third of the trees, a third of the land. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. It's important that we know what's going to come. We know what's going to happen so that we can minister to our loved ones. Amen. And let God minister to their hearts. Amen. But we have to give them knowledge. Whether they reject it from us or not, we are planting seeds. Amen. Verse 8 says, "The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed." Can you fathom that? Amen. Can you fathom a third? Something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. Amen. And a third of all the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Could it be a huge meteorite, a huge meteor, or asteroid surrounded by gases, amen, that will ignite as it enters our atmosphere? Could its impact cause a tidal wave that sinks a third of the world's ships? Blood or red dye resulting from the meteor collision causing a third of the sea creatures to die? This is the second angel that blew his trumpet, amen? And this is what happened. A third of the living creatures and a third of the ships are destroyed. This is what's coming. This is what's coming during the tribulation. And this is what we have to share with our loved ones, whether they laugh at us, whether they mock us, whether they say, no, that can't be. But we have to give them the word, and we have to feed them so that at the appropriate time, the Spirit of God will bring it up in their being. Because, you know, many will be saved during the tribulation. Many will be saved. They will lose their lives, but they will be saved. Glory to God. Amen. Now, the word of God says that in verse 10, the third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. So something fell from heaven, blazing like a torch. What does that remind you of? Maybe a comet? You know how they show the comets with the tail? Torch, blazing like a torch. A comet falling from the heaven. This is what's going to happen during the tribulation. The second half of the tribulation. So it fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. So what would that cause? Amen. Disintegration is coming with a fiery tail, disintegrating as it hits the earth. Amen. Scattering all over the earth. Doing what to the waters? Maybe contaminating them? A fiery comet? We have to prepare our loved ones, whether they mock us, whether they laugh at us, whether they say, no, Mom, that's enough. It's okay. Little by little, we give them a word. Little by little, we ask God to implant it in their spirit. That when time comes or whatever, they can make a true decision for the Lord. Or, God forbid, they're in the tribulation. They will say, my mom, my dad, my pastor told me about these things. And I'd rather lose my life to gain it than bow down to this Antichrist. Verse 11 says, the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it was made bitter. Wormwood is a bitter root, and it can be poisonous, and it can lead to death. Amen? So, if you look... if you look in Amos 6:12, it says, God's justice, Amos said, had been turned. Wait a minute, Amos had been turned to wormwood. Okay, wormwood was a plant in Palestine that had an exceedingly bitter taste, and was a frequent metaphor. So we're talking about metaphors. A frequent metaphor for the poison and bitterness of a disaster and destruction. So when he says the name, he says the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it was made bitter. So what are we saying? A star falling from heaven, landing on the waters, making them bitter and poisonous? Amen? God will cause one third of the rivers and springs to become poisonous. And that will cause many deaths. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be there. I don't want to be during this time. And we got to stand in the gap for our loved ones. We have to stand in the gap for them. If you don't want your children to go through this, we got to bend a lot of knee. That bend a lot of knee, that God will touch their hearts, that God will illuminate their spirit, that God will give them receptive hearts to hear what His word has to say. Verse 12 says, the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Can you imagine this planet darkened for a third of each day? The entire planet darkened? What are the ramifications of that? What are the results of a darkened planet? Amen? Won't that cause a drop in temperature? Won't that produce severe changes in our climate, in our agriculture? God will supernaturally reduce the intensity of the sun, the moon, and the stars by one third. That's what's going to happen during the tribulation. Imagine. People will die. People will die. Many without repenting for what they've done, what they've accepted. Again, you got to warn your loved ones, even though they don't want to hear, but even though they're stubborn, even though they think we're being foolish, we have to warn them and ask the Holy Spirit to implant it in their hearts. Amen. Verse 13 says, then I looked and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets. At the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. Now, before I go forward with that, did you notice the first four trumpets, what they have to do with? They have to do with our ecology. They have to do with our ecology. Ecology affects, you know, our atmosphere, our plants, how they grow, our weather. That's ecology. And the first four trumpets have to do with our ecology. Amen. And then when we read this, when we read, with our ecology, and as I said before, the fourth angel will produce climatic changes. That's our ecology. Amen. Then I looked and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that three angels are about to blow. So woe, woe, woe. So this must be very severe. Amen. One woe for each of the three remaining trumpets. Amen. The first four trumpets were unimaginable, right? But they will be like nothing for the next ones, as compared to the next ones to come. Amen. And so we're going to go to Revelation chapter 9 to finish with the trumpets. Amen. And the word of God says, and the fifth angel blew in 9:1. And the word of God, and the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. And he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. We hear a lot about the one who fell from heaven, right? The one who was thrown from heaven. Amen. And the one who has the key to the bottomless pit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is most likely Satan himself when he was thrown from heaven. Amen. Look at, you can look at Isaiah 14:12. Isaiah 14:12. Just open that up and somebody read it, please. If you have it, read it. Isaiah 14:12. Any takers? Okay, let me get that, unless somebody else will read it. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 2.
All right. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, if you have it, read it.
Okay. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations.
Amen. Amen. So this verse says that he saw a star fall from heaven. Now, stars refer to two things in the scripture. They refer to angels, and they refer to stars, celestial planets, or whatever you call it, celestial stars. Okay? So this here, and you can look at, let's look at Luke 10:18. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Do you have it?
Yes.
You have it? Read it.
Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and
over. Is that Luke? Wait a minute. Luke 10:18.
And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven.
Amen. I saw Satan fall. So this is a reference to Satan. Amen. To Satan himself. Amen.
Amen.
Falling from heaven. Falling from heaven. Amen. Present. He is present. Amen. He to cause greater havoc. And this is me, but you know that during this time the Antichrist will be revealed. Now you know that Satan will inhabit the Antichrist during the tribulation. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation will be rather peaceful. You know, the Antichrist will be ruling, but in the middle, he will stand in the temple, amen, and want to be worshipped as God. So this is the second half, amen?
Amen.
So we have a depiction of here as Satan being present during this time, amen? Amen?
Amen.
Verse 12 says, he opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with smoke from the shaft. So he's opened the pit. He's opened the bottomless pit. Amen. the abyss. And what is in the abyss? But hordes of demons. Amen? Hordes of demons. Amen? The pit is the place of the severest torment. Amen? And isolation. He's opening. He opened the shaft. So these demons are unleashed. That's what it implies. Demons being unleashed. Amen? If you read Jude 6 and 7, it says, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulge in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. So what angels are these that are held down there? If you go to the book of Genesis, and it's around chapter 6 or so, it says that the sons of God went into the daughters of men, and the daughters yes. of men conceived, and they conceived Amen. These supernatural beings. That is an abomination. And so God locked them in chains, and they're locked in the abyss, and now they're being loosed. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit. And from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air was darkened with smoke from the shaft. So could you imagine the sun and the air darkened? This is during the tribulation. This is a total eclipse.
Darkness.
A total eclipse and darkness. And remember, there are people living on the earth. This is during the time yeah. of the tribulation. And in addition right. to the people living there are the 144,000 that the Lord chose to minister to those that are during the tribulation. So many from the tribulation will accept the Lord. But you know that they will Amen. Have to give up their life, because they will not worship the beast, the Antichrist.
Amen.
Amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Judgment.
Amen. So, you know, it says in Genesis 6, so I found it here, Genesis 6, 1 to 2, it says, now when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God. So it distinguishes with men and the sons of God. So the sons of God are the angels. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took as wives whomever they chose. Those are the angels that are locked up in this abyss, that are chained there until the end yes. of time. Because they're spiritual beings.
Yes.
And they're chained. Amen. Amen. So that is what okay, so we're in verse so we mentioned the abyss is open, and the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth is darkened. Amen. Then it says in verse 3, Amen. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth. And they were given power like the power of scorpions on the earth.
Oh, God.
I've never seen a scorpion, but on TV and so on and so forth. Amen. But I'm told yes. that they have a very powerful sting and deadly sting.
Yes.
Amen.
Deadly.
So here.
Amen.
Locusts are grasshopper-like insects that descend in swarms. Did you know that locusts descend in swarms. I didn't know that. So that they can obscure. Yes. Amen? Amen? So in this, it says they were given power like scorpions on the earth. Amen? The locusts were given power like scorpions. Amen? They, you know, that they can obscure the sun and they can strip the land of all the vegetation. I looked up locusts to find out. I looked up scorpions. They can strip the entire land, the land of all its vegetation. Amen. They swarm. You know how they swarm? In hundreds of millions. I didn't know that. In hundreds of millions. You know that in the 1950s, they swarmed and devoured every growing thing for several hundred thousand square miles in the Middle East. But now, these are not normal, right? These are not, this is like a metaphor of what's actually taking place. In the outward appearance, they're locusts or scorpions, but in actuality, they are demons. They are demons, amen, that come upon the earth in the form of locusts. They're demons, amen? And amen. These are demons in the form of these creatures. In verse 4, we read this. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any green or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. The seal of God on their foreheads. So, you know what that makes me think of? That during, remember, this is during the second half of the tribulation. There will be those that have accepted the Lord during the tribulation, and they will have the seal of God. I don't mean something imprinted with ink, but it's got to be a seal that's visibly spiritually, is what I think. Amen? So they're told, don't harm these people because they have accepted right. The Lord. Remember, we're in the tribulation at this time. We're there in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
They were told not to harm the grass, the earth, the trees, but only those who do not have the seal of God. Remember, who's in the second half of the tribulation also that do have the seal of God? Isn't it the 144,000 that are ministering during this time?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. 12,000 yes. from each of the tribe of Israel. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There will be converts, right? Because they will be ministering to the people. So you will have converts, amen? You will have Jewish evangelists, because they're from the 144,000. So they're told, do not harm the scorpions, or rather the locusts are told, do not harm these, amen? In verse 5, amen. It tells us they were allowed to torment the people without the seal of God. They were allowed to torment the people for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. Could you imagine 5 months? People that are during the tribulation, they're going to want to die. They're going to want to die, and they can't die because they're told not to take their life. Could you imagine being tormented for 5 months? 5 months is the normal life cycle of locusts. What bearing that has is they're actually demons in the form of locusts, is what we believe. Were there locusts demonized to do this? Amen. But 5 months is their life cycle, usually from May to September. Amen. Now, scorpions have a venomous stinger. Amen. Its victims generally roll in agony, foam at the mouth, and grind their teeth. But death has been taken away. Many will want to die than to endure this. Aren't you glad that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
I'm glad.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We continuously blow it. But thank God for repentance. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. Thank God that we can go
to Him
when we blow it and say, I blew it. That's what I do. I go to the Lord and say, Lord, I blew it. Forgive me. And I'm sorry. I repent of what I've done. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it says It says in verse 6, and in those days people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. No relief possible. No relief from the agony and the pain. No relief. So we have to warn our children. We have to warn them, even though they get annoyed with us, even though they think we're talking nonsense. They have to know that it is that we're given maybe 70 years and some more, and then it is appointed unto man to die. Amen. We have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ so we can go, so we have to inform them so they can go in the rapture so they will not suffer. And what is our job? Our job is to constantly implant these thoughts in them. Constantly talk about them. Let them ridicule us. It's okay. But I want to see them in eternity. I want to see them reigning and ruling with Christ. Amen? Because that's what the word says. We will reign and rule with Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Now, what were these locusts like? Amen. Verse 7 tells us. It says, in appearance, the locust was like horses prepared for battle. In appearance, locusts, do they look like horses prepared for battle? But this is what the word of God says, amen? On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold, and their faces were like human faces. I don't know. Locusts in appearance? What is it? What is it? God says that the word says locusts. But do they function like locusts? You know, flying and, you know, is it a metaphor? A simile? Is it for something that they look like? Remember that this is the Apostle John taken up into heaven, and he's trying to describe what he sees, right?
Yes.
It says in verse 8, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lion's teeth. Can you visualize that? Like horses prepared for battle, on their heads crown, their faces like human faces, their hair like women's hair, their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like of iron, and their noise was like the noise of many chariots with horses running in battle. They have tails that sting like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. Can you visualize that? Did you notice how many times the word like is used? Like something. right? The teachers know that. Like, this is like, this is like, this is like. It doesn't say this is. It says this is like. John is trying to describe what he's seeing, but doesn't really understand what he is seeing. Amen?
Yeah, because he's never seen it before.
He's having a difficult time, amen? Like the power of scorpions, like the horses prepared for battle, like crowns of gold on their heads, like human faces, like women's hair, like lion's teeth, like breastplates of iron, like the noise of many chariots, like scorpions. So obviously he's having a hard time describing. Could this possibly actually describe like helicopters? Gunships, some kind of mechanized equipment that is being unleashed. You know, the helicopters have a tail. The face, people are, you see the faces of those in the helicopter. You know, it could be. We don't know. John is doing his best, and he's having a difficult time because he doesn't know what it is. God is showing him these things. Amen. We don't know specifically, but it's a plague, and it's going on for 5 months, and it's gonna hurt those on the earth intensely, and they cannot escape from it. Amen. All that we can say is that before the end, the wicked, those who have not repented, those who have not given up their life during the tribulation in accepting Jesus Christ, because they will be hunted, and they will lose their life. Amen. And those that have not done this will be subject to, those that are on the earth will be subject to demonic torment. Unprecedented demonic torment before the end. Those that outwardly, which is what it's going to have to be, accept the Lord, will be killed. Verse 11 in chapter 9 says, they have a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. Who has a king over them? This horde of locusts, this horde of demons, they have a king over them. And he is the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is Apollyon. Amen. Both of these names in Hebrew and in Greek mean destroyer.
Amen.
Amen. And just as there is a hierarchy among angels, there is a hierarchy among demons. This may be Satan himself or a high-ranking demon. Okay? Because it says they have a king over them. Probably Satan himself. And he's known as the destroyer. Amen. And it says, the past woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come. Are you with me? Are you with me? Amen. It says in verse 13, the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a loud voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So, scripture doesn't refer to these angels as holy angels. Holy angels are never bound. right? It says that are bound. They're bound at the four corners of the river Euphrates. Amen? And even, you know, the demonic forces, God uses them to accomplish his purpose. And that's what's happening now. Amen? And you know, they're bound at the river Euphrates. Where's the river Euphrates? It's in the Middle East. Amen? And it was one of the four rivers that flowed out of where? Egypt. The Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. Amen? It's still there. Amen. Praise God. So the four angels, and verse 15 says, so the four angels who had prepared, they've been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to do what? To kill a third of mankind. Remember, this is during the tribulation. These demons, unlike the locusts that we just read about, they have been prepared to kill. The locusts were not allowed to kill. But these demons are allowed to kill one third of mankind. Amen. They have been given permission. Amen. It says, the number of the mounted troops was twice 10,000, 10,000, and I heard their number. They have been released. These four demonic entities have been released to bring forth 200 million soldiers. Mm. 200 million soldiers. Amen. That's an army that is possible today if you take China, India, the Middle East nations. Such an army is possible today. Amen. So these four demons don't equate to 200 million, right? So this, I think, is an actual army mobilized, amen, by these demons. This is happening during the tribulation, amen. And I don't know, could it be World War III during the tribulation? That's just me surmising. Another word. Amen? And in verse 17, it says, and we're finishing up. Verse 17, it says, and this is how I saw the horses in my vision and those who rode on them. They wore breastplates the color of fire and sapphire and sulfur. And the heads of the horses were like lions' heads. And fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. By the fire and the smoke and the sulfur coming out of their mouths. So this is a vast demonic or human army. I think it's a vast human army called by Satan for this final war, I think. Called by Satan, amen? And it says that one third of mankind was killed by fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths. Now, is this literally coming out of their mouths? No, I don't think so. I think this is like a metaphor. I think this is actually equipment, you know, whatever equipment they have that will... You know, John is seeing fire, he's seeing smoke, he's seeing sulfur coming out of the equipment, amen? And it says, for the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. If this describes the natural army of man, this may mean modern mechanized warfare. if this means a natural army. I think it means a natural army, but that's my opinion. Amen. And John is trying to describe things he's never seen before.
Yes.
Amen. He's trying to describe fire, smoke, sulfur, gases from bombs being going off, modern warfare. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Tails, tanks, helicopters with tails. You know, this is war. But 200 million men army. Hallelujah. It could be nuclear weapons. An arsenal of nuclear weapons. Amen. And it says 1/3 of the inhabitants of the earth killed. That's over 2.7 billion people. Amen. It says the rest of the mankind, in verse 20, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Isn't it amazing that our God gives opportunity during the tribulation, the second half, with so many horrible things are happening? He gives people opportunities to repent. And the majority of people do not repent. They witness all these judgments and their hearts are hardened. Their minds are hardened. Their heart is so seared, amen? So deceived and rebellious that they refuse to repent. I won't keep you much longer. All to say that this is coming. And we need to witness to our children, to our grandchildren, even if they don't want to hear. We have to ask him, give us time. Listen to what I have to say. Pray about what I have to say. Because I know that you, like me, you don't want your loved ones to have to go through this. Speak to them. Speak to them about the error of their ways. Speak to them about what is not acceptable by the Lord. Implant. Pray that God will send somebody to water those seeds. Even if you don't see them repent, that somebody will see them repent. Because our desire is to see them in glory with us, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. That we would see them with the King. Amen. I hope that this word has ministered to you. I hope it has given you time to ponder in whatever is not right in your life, to correct it. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you in your weakness, as I ask him to help me in my weakness. I ask him to help me love those that are not lovable, because I have those that are not lovable too. I know people that I don't want to love, but the Word of God says I have to love them. So what's my alternative but to ask God to help me? Help me. Help me humble myself and love them with the love of God. Loving a person doesn't mean that you have to dwell with them, that you have to be involved with them. But we love because he first loved us. And we love because we want to have a pure heart. And I'm working on that. You know, I have a number of areas that I keep presenting to the Lord. But anyway, you are all blessed.